Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host today, Marty Jones, and guests today include Sean Sluter, the new Alamosa Outdoor Recreation Supervisor, and later on, Danny Robin from San Luis Valley Great Outdoors to talk about the Dark Sky Rendezvous coming up. And as always, we want to be sure to thank Don Richmond for the music that you're listening to, and Daniel Boyce for the bird sounds that you hear. And welcome, everyone. Sean Sluter, the new Outdoor Recreation Supervisor and Grants Coordinator for the City of Alamosa. Welcome, Sean, and thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me today.
And Sean, give us a little bit of background. How did you, well, first of all, what's your outdoor rec background, and how did you happen to come into this position?
Yeah, so I have a bachelor's degree in recreation sport management with a concentration in youth leadership from Indiana State University in Terre Haute, Indiana. I'm originally from Terre Haute, Indiana. I traveled around a little bit while I was in college during summers, working at a couple outdoor camps. One in the area would be Philmont Scout Ranch down in Cimarron, New Mexico. That's how I fell in love with the Southwest and finally got an opportunity to move back out here after college.
Very good. So how did you hear about this job?
Yeah, so through different sites, mostly the National Recreation Association posts. The job was available on there, and it looked like an awesome opportunity to move back out to the Southwest and move to Colorado.
Very good. So what are your goals going forward?
Yeah, so the goals is to come to here in Alamosa, is to continue to build on what John had previously, and John did some amazing work over the past several years, and just to continue to grow on that and grow personally and continue to develop.
Very good. I know there are some projects that are coming up in the next few weeks, and can you just share some of the projects that are going on and how others might be able to get involved?
Yes, we've got a few different things going on. One of the big ones is next month we'll have our final work day of the year for our trails for our volunteers to come out. So we would definitely want to push that and get people out to help maintain our trails. We've just got a bunch of different things going on with the Parks Department.
Yeah, so expand on this. When you say next month, do you mean October, or are you talking about the end of September?
The end of September, sorry.
Okay, so give us some more specifics.
Yeah, so the end of September comes.
It's on Wednesday, the last Wednesday evening of September.
It is. It is the last Wednesday evening of September. So that is an awesome opportunity to come out and work on our trails and work with us. We'll be over at the disc golf and riparian park area doing some work out there.
Disc golf and oxbow trails?
Sorry, yes. Thank you for calling me on that. Sorry. It's still learning some of the places.
Oh, sure, sure. We were just out at the riparian park last Wednesday, as a matter of fact.
We did work on the riparian park last Wednesday. So the last week of September will be at the disc golf and oxbow trail area. We'll do some work on the Rio Inspire and oxbow trails.
Ah, very good. I was just out riding my mountain bike through the outer oxbow. When was it? Maybe on Sunday? No, Saturday, I think. And there's a little bit of work that could be done on the Outer Oxbow Trail.
Yeah, we just had Southwest Conservation crew out there last week.
And they must have done a lot of work on the Inner Oxbow Trail because that one was just as clean as can be.
Yeah, we really had them work on that and get that opened up again. We had a lot of overgrowth coming in, so that really helped them open that up. Then we also had them put in some areas where some of the trail was washing out. We've rerouted the trail on the Rio Inspire.
Yeah, you know, years ago, the bridge that was put over the entrance to the Rio Inspire Trail at the south end of the trail, there was a pretty significant drop or difference in height between the trail bottom and the bridge. And I noticed when I was riding it on Saturday that there was a nice gravel-filled ramp leading up to it. I don't think that's going to wash away like some of the other makeshift structures have done.
Yeah, that was one of the projects that we had them work on last week, getting that to be built up so it was a little more accessible with less of a step, and making sure, putting in some siding to make sure the gravel doesn't wash away when the river rises again.
Yeah, and certainly it did rise quite a bit this spring. We're hoping for another record snowfall again so that we can have good water in the Rio Grande. But for you listeners, we'll be talking more about that in a little bit. So, Sean, what other projects are going on?
So right now we do have the RAISE grant going on, which is the bridge across the Rio just outside of Adams State University area. That is an ongoing project that will be something over the next couple of years. It is a long-term project. That capital campaign will continue. That is not something that is going to happen right away. It is going to be a 2 to 3 year process. We're hoping to move it forward as fast as we can.
But that's something that's going to require professional contractors rather than just a group of us local yokels with a shovel and a pick, right?
Yeah, so we're hoping that in the next year or so we'll be able to start that contracting process and sending out bidders and looking for further information.
Okay. In terms of your background, if we can go back to that again, you know, because part of the work that you're doing here involves maintaining city trails and so on, did you do a lot of that sort of work, either as part of your undergraduate career or maybe at Philmont or some of the other camps that you've been to?
So when I worked at Philmont, I did some volunteer experience working there. My fraternity, every year, I'm a member of Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity when I was an undergrad. We traveled every year to a different place where we did different outdoor work and volunteer. We did some TSI work at Philmont during one of those trips. While I worked there, we did some TSI work and some trail improvement work with crews. And then while I worked at my last job, which was the Viau County Parks and Recreation Department, we have something there called the Griffin Bike Park, which has about 20 to 30 miles of mountain bike trails within Terre Haute, Indiana. And there I assisted our bike park coordinator in maintaining his trails, keeping things open, and further developing and inspecting the trails.
Good. So you're used to wielding the tools necessary to maintain a trail and moving rocks and all sorts of things.
Certainly.
Yeah, that's good. So do you have any assistants in your office, or are you the only person? And if you need help, you just have to go out and find it somewhere.
So a lot of what we do is a lot of finding help. We do have two part-time people that do help with programming and other occasions. We do also have an AmeriCorps member who helps out with programming. Her specific help right now is with Friday programming with the Alamosa schools going to a four-day week.
Oh, right.
We have established Friday programming with several community partners within the area. So a lot of our maintenance for the trails is going out looking for volunteer groups as best we can. We're currently looking into the process. We don't have full development yet, but we're looking into an adopt-a-trail program that hopefully maybe we'll institute next year.
And what would that involve?
So we hope to have community partners, whether it's businesses or local volunteer members that want to help with specific trails and keeping them open and maintaining the trails for the public.
And as part of an adopt-a-trail program, would the adopter have to have their own equipment, own tools, or is that something that could be borrowed from the city?
So we haven't gotten that far yet. Right now it's just a general idea, something that we've talked about and want to work towards implementing.
Okay. Well, how do you find Alamosa? I mean, you've been here for less than a month now, and I remember when we first moved to Alamosa from a much lower elevation, it took 3 weeks to a month before we didn't have to sleep 10 hours a night to get sufficient rest.
Yeah, so the first week was definitely adjustment. Doing some of the physical labor with the job was, I was breathing harder. It was definitely getting used to the elevation. I come from Indiana, which is only a couple hundred feet above sea level to 7,500 feet here in Alamosa. So it is a good difference.
Yeah, takes a while. Well, Sean, have you enjoyed the job thus far?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a beast to tackle. But I'm looking forward to the challenge, and I'm up to it and hoping to succeed.
Well, I think you will. And, you know, all you have to do is make sure you communicate all this information to other people, especially about volunteer opportunities. If you can let the Alamosa Citizen know, and all the people who subscribe to that get information, and that should help bring in a larger crew of volunteers.
Definitely. Thank you.
Great. Well, I've been speaking with Sean Sluter, the new Outdoor Recreation Supervisor and Grants Coordinator for the City of Alamosa. Thanks for coming in, Sean.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back after a brief message from our sponsors. You've been listening to The Outdoor Citizen.
The Adams State Grizzlies are back for another championship season of college athletics. Don't miss a game and get to know our national championship athletes by joining the Grizzly Club today. Hi, I'm Caitlin Smith, Athletic Director for your Adams State Grizzlies. Your support means everything to the student athletes and all of us with Adams State Athletics. When you become a Grizzly Club member, you're helping Adams State student athletes bring back more championship trophies to the San Luis Valley. Visit ASUGrizzlies.com and join today, or call 719-587-7401.
All right. Well, welcome back to The Outdoor Citizen, and we have with us Danny Robin. Danny, tell us a little bit about what's going on with SLV Go. First of all, who you are and so on.
Yeah, my name is Danny Robin. I'm the Community Connections Coordinator with San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, otherwise known as SLV Go. And this Friday, we have a really fun event coming up. It's the Dark Sky Refuge Rendezvous. It's our first community star party that we'll be hosting in partnership with the San Luis Valley Refuge Complex, as well as Great Sand Dunes National Park. So it's taking place this Friday at 8 p.m. at the Alamosa National Wildlife Refuge. And we have a few things going on at this event. Actually, beforehand, we have a sunset hike that we're hosting with the refuge staff. So beginning at 7 p.m., we have about 20 registered participants coming out to the Nature and Heritage Trail out at the Alamosa Refuge, and they'll get an interpretive hike, learning about the refuge system, the nocturnal wildlife found there, and archaeoastronomy stories about Native Americans and cultural stories, star stories that come from Native Americans as well.
So who's leading that hike? That sounds really exciting.
We have a mix. So we have some refuge staff, Suzanne Beauchesne.
Yep.
We also have Bob Kennemer, who's coming all the way from Huerfano County. And he has done some talks about this before and is really excited to share with us. And just, we're lucky to have him.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And then starting at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, starting at 8 o'clock, we'll give a short presentation about local dark sky preservation efforts. And then I'll talk a little bit about the Sangre de Cristo Dark Sky Reserve, which is a project we have going on right now with coalition partners all throughout the valley and on the west side of the Sangres as well, or the east side, I should say. And we'll also be talking about statewide efforts to protect our night sky. I'm a part of the Colorado Dark Sky Board, and we're excited to share what we have going on this upcoming year and all the success that we've had this past year with night sky preservation in the state. We're really excited to just be able to share, you know, we've had over 15 places designated as international dark sky locations throughout the state. And we'll talk about some of the strategic plans that the Dark Sky Board has coming up. We're really hoping that we can get more people engaged and involved with local preservation efforts and be able to help point out what people can do, both within their own home and be advocates within their own community for dark skies. So following that, we'll be having a constellation tour, which will be guided by Great Sand Dunes staff. They're really excited to bring some telescopes out as well for telescope viewing after the constellation tour. So we have a full packed night of plans, and we're just really excited to get everyone out finally under some clear skies.
And dark skies.
Yes.
Since the full moon was about a week ago, it should be pretty dark until like 10 o'clock or so.
Yeah. Yeah, the moon is setting a little later, so we should have a really great viewing opportunity.
Right. Yeah. You know, this whole dark sky initiative is really gaining some traction. Last night on the CBS News out of Denver, there was a segment on dark skies in Colorado, and they had a map with all the dark sky designated places already, and it's like you said, there's already 15. There's a plethora of them.
Yeah, and there's a lot of places in the so-called pipeline to become established as well. So, yeah, there's just a lot to celebrate, and we're excited to just get everyone out and under the sky together and be able to view the majesty of the night sky and just, you know, soak it in.
The hike that you mentioned, which starts at 7 o'clock, and that's a limited number of participants. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is it too late to sign up?
Unfortunately, it's already full.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's great that it's already full.
It is. It's great. And, you know, we're hoping to do more of these events. This was actually scheduled back in May, and we had poor weather in May. We had, you know, rains, which was kind of unusual for that time of year. But so far, the forecast looks good, so we're crossing our fingers, and yeah, I hope everyone can get out, and even though the hike is full, definitely come at 8 p.m. and be ready for some stargazing.
And would you, in case some of our listeners are not aware of where the Alamosa Refuge is located, can you give them some quick directions?
Yes, so from Alamosa, head east on Highway 160, and turn right on El Rancho Lane, which is probably about 2.5 miles from Alamosa. Take El Rancho Lane, maybe it's drive, all the way down to the end. You'll pass the new visitor center on your left, and you'll go over a cattle guard. But all the way at the end of that drive, where the old visitor center is where we'll be having our hike and the rest of the dark sky event.
Okay. Anything else you want to share about either this event or the Dark Sky Initiative for Sangre de Cristos?
I don't think right now.
Okay.
Yeah, not at this time, but definitely excited to keep providing updates to the Outdoor Citizen.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Danny. Appreciate you coming in and telling us about this exciting event.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. We'll be right back after a brief message.
Climb aboard the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad. The Cumbres and Toltec operates on a 64 miles of track between Antonito, Colorado and Chama, New Mexico, taking passengers over the San Juan Mountains to the Conejos Valley. Regular daily passenger service begins June 3rd through October 21st and will run 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. Book now on America's highest, longest, and most authentic steam-operated railroad. Visit our website at cumbrestoltec.com.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. Remember, the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Make sure to check it out and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. Here's a look at the rest of September. As you just heard, September 8 is SLV Go's Dark Sky Refuge Rendezvous. This event is happening at the Alamosa Wildlife Refuge to highlight the dark sky efforts and why it's important to preserve our night skies. Starting at 8 p.m. is the Star Party. This will feature presentations from local sky guides and experts. There will, of course, be a telescope, or more than one, even, to view constellations. Dress warmly, leave your pets at home, bring a headlamp or a flashlight. The weather is calling for a clear night, ideal for stargazing. September 9th was going to be the 2023 Bike to Build ride as a fundraiser for Habitat for Humanity. Unfortunately, we had to cancel that event because we didn't have a sufficient number of registrants in advance to make it worthwhile or financially successful. So watch for it. Next year, 2024, we're going to have it back at its usual time in the summer. And I'm sure that you'll be getting some emails from SLV Habitat regarding that. Also on September 9th is the Alamosa KOA Campground Chili Cook-Off as a Care Camps fundraiser. Chili makers pay an entry fee of $20, and chili tasters pay $10 to sample the entries and then enjoy all of them at the end. The winning chili earns $1,000. To enter, call KOA Campground's Joe Parents at 719-589-9757. The chili cook-off and tasting will be from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the KOA Campground east of Alamosa. The Great Outdoors Fund, BLM, and SLV Great Outdoors are hosting a community dinner in Antonito on September 12th to help community members learn more about the Lobatos Bridge project. You can register for the event by emailing Lori, that's L-O-R-I, at thegreatoutdoorsfund.org. Also on September 12th is a weekly SLV Go Walk in the Park. Join us at the Alamosa Senior Center for a weekly morning walk around Cole Park. Walking begins at 9 a.m. This is an every Tuesday walk hosted by the San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. On every episode of The Outdoor Citizen, we will have an outdoor correspondent report from around the San Luis Valley. Here's the latest field report from Chris Lopez, who just a few months ago would have been neck deep in the Rio Grande. Today, he shows us the rapid drying.
Marty, this is Chris with the field report from the Rio Grande. It's the day after Labor Day, and we just passed the driest summer on record in Alamosa with 0.56 inches of rainfall from June 1 to August 31st. You see the effect standing in the middle of the Rio Grande at the State Avenue Bridge here in Alamosa. The shrubbery stands at least 10 feet and stretches into middle of the riverbed. There's a sandal and other clothing, and you see the footprints of all the critters that roam around. Yeah, it's dry out here, Marty. Talk to you later.
Fall is soon upon us, but that doesn't mean the outdoor fun stops. While we've got all this daylight and warmth, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners, as you explore the San Luis Valley's great outdoors. We encourage you to record an audio file on your phone and send it to us. We would also enjoy seeing a photograph. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com. Or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with your name for credit. Now we have some conditions and measurements for you to keep up to date on what it's looking like out there. It's been a summer of extremes for weather in the San Luis Valley. After a strong spring runoff from heavy winter snow, Alamosa then saw its driest summer on record with just 0.56 inches of rainfall from June 1 to August 31, according to National Weather Service data. There is talk of an El Nino winter and the snow it could bring. We'll see. Here are the latest stream flows entering the week as of Tuesday, September 5th. For the upper Rio Grande, the gauge in Del Norte is reading 272 CFS, Monte Vista is at a steady 107 CFS, while Alamosa is trickling with a gauge reading of just 36.5 CFS. Down south, the Magoti gauge on the Caneos River is at 114 CFS. Some select fishing reports from the Caneos River, courtesy of Caneos River anglers. Higher water temperatures and warmer days have the fish sitting in deeper runs or faster, more oxygenated water. Bigger flies like hoppers and golden stones are working. Other than that, the fish are keying on the smaller bugs like betas, midges, PMDs, and small caddis. On the Arkansas River, courtesy of ARC anglers, this week will bring a significant change in flows to the Arkansas River below the confluence of Lake Creek, as the additional flows from Twin Lakes will finally be cut back, returning the river to native levels. The Twin Lakes outflow will be decreased incrementally each day, beginning yesterday, actually, and ending this Friday, September 8th. We expect the flow at Wellsville between 350 and 400 CFS once the adjustment is complete, which finally moves the river level down into the upper end of the optimal flow range for resident trout populations. And that range is 250 to 400 CFS at Wellsville. There will still be plenty of water for float fishing, but wade anglers will find a far more approachable river than we've seen since before runoff. For those anglers that have been patiently awaiting late summer and early fall flows, your time has come. And courtesy of Duranglers, the San Juan River near Archuleta, New Mexico, if you're looking to venture farther, terrestrial fishing can be good this time of year with ants, crickets, and hoppers. Tie on a big dry fly and just see what happens before you go to smaller flies. Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen, and here on the Citizen, we aim to keep you up to date on all the outdoor news that comes our way. Here's what's going on outside. The Wheeler Geologic Area is open. Forest Service Road 600 was reopened Tuesday, August 29th, 2023. The road was closed on August 1st, 2022, due to extremely wet and unstable conditions, along with major hazards and increasing resource damage. The road will remain a difficult and slow four-wheel drive road. The road to Continental Reservoir has also reopened to full traffic. Forest Service Road 513.1A reopened last week after a weight restriction due to a failing bridge abutment. The road was fully closed over the past month to make necessary repairs, which have now been completed. Colorado's hunting season is starting. Colorado Parks and Wildlife wants to remind the public that most of Colorado's big game hunting grounds are shared use. It is important to be vigilant and aware of your surroundings while recreating and hunting in Colorado's public lands. The Rio Grande National Forest Divide Ranger District appointed Patrick Moran as the new district ranger in August. Moran previously served as Watershed, Soils, and Minerals Program Manager of the Rio Grande prior to working in the White Mountain National Park in New Hampshire. If trains are your thing, or if you've always wanted to ride the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad but have never done so, well, here's a perfect opportunity. The Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad just announced the return of dinner trains with two special evening fall train rides. The Outlaw Express Brews, Views, and Q is a limited offering that provides guests with a fantastic view of autumn foliage with a side of delicious barbecue and live music. This limited train charter will make two trips this season on September 27th and October 4th. The train departs Chama, New Mexico at 3 p.m., taking riders up to Cumbres Pass, the highest operational railroad pass in America, and returning to Chama around 6 p.m. There's more information about this in the community news section at alamosacitizen.com. That ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. We want to again thank Don Richman for the music that you hear and Daniel Boyce for the bird sounds that you've been listening to. We'll be back here in a couple of weeks when we'll talk to the SLV Climbers Alliance, Angela Lee and Wes O'Rourke. We'll talk about SLV climbing and the upcoming True Penitence Climbing Fest. We hope you enjoyed listening in, and until next time, we'll see you in the out of doors. Enjoy.